Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This morning, joining us in our studio, it is going to be a little bit wacky, I'm afraid. Sean Hayes joins us this morning, along with Bob Dobrow, the owner of Zenith Books. Good morning, you guys.
Hello.
Good morning.
So coming up on Sunday is something kind of new and fun for the Northland. It is Drag Storytime. If you've got friends from other parts of the world on Facebook, I've got a friend in Chicago who's been posting all kinds of these photographs of bringing her kids to Drag Storytime. It is local drag queens and kings reading stories to kids. The description for the event says we think it's important that kids have glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer and trans role models. In spaces like this, kids are able to see people who defy rigid gender restrictions and imagine a world where people can present as they wish and where dress-up is real. It sounds like super fun. Sean, talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, so we're really excited. This is actually going to be our second event for Drag Story Hour, and just really looking forward to it. The first time we had a packed house down at Zenith Bookstore, and just really looking forward to seeing more friends and family, and especially the children come out just so that they can learn more about different types of identities within the community. And it's also a time where we really want to encourage family connections in the community to come out. You know, oftentimes for queer and trans people in our community, there's only like one place to go, which is a LGBT bar. And so a group of community members got together and said, let's start planning some more family-friendly events where we can all get to know each other, get together, and just be together in community.
That sounds marvelous. Bob, I've got this girlfriend in Chicago who brings her kids to these. This is a family, as I explained to you. These are people that pretty much always like to dress in glitter and sparkles just because that's how they roll. And so for them to go to a place where glitter and sparkles were encouraged and where other people, you know, where it was kind of a no-brainer for them. But there have been communities, Fall River, Massachusetts, where they had the event. And it was really, for the most part, it seemed it was received really, really well. But there were still people that were really uncomfortable with it. There were people that were protesting it. And apparently there was a police presence on hand just to make sure that everything stayed mellow. Were any of those sorts of things considerations for you when you said, hey, let's do Drag Story Time?
Truth be told, the short answer to that is no. We have, first of all, we have had no pushback at all on this. One of the great things about our community and our city, I think. And everybody has just been very, very welcoming, excited about it. I don't think if there were pushback, I know that if there even was some pushback, that would not deter us because we feel that we're doing the right thing. And on a certain level, this is really all about just really having fun and being open. And it's so consistent with and connected with our values, our core values as a bookstore. To promote diversity and inclusiveness. We are a safe place, and we want to welcome everybody. So we're really excited. Like Sean said, the last time we had it in March, it was just such a great success. I mean, you just got to look at those pictures of those kids being read to, the smiles, and we just knew we had to do it again. So we're pretty excited that we're able to do it.
Kids love the opportunity to step out of the real world and go into a world, whether it's through art or dance or theater or whatever it might be, where kind of like it said here, where you can kind of, you can be who you want to be, you can dress the way you want to dress, you don't have to be stuck in your like regular school clothes. You can wear a ball gown if you want, whatever it might be. Tell me a little bit about what you heard kids saying, because I'm guessing that both of you did a fair amount of eavesdropping. Who wouldn't? And, you know, I'm curious, what are kids saying? What are parents saying? What did you hear people saying at the event the first time?
Well, leading up to the event, I know I had lots of friends and friends of friends who were just so excited that there was this opportunity to show up and to bring their kids to. And for most of the first event, I was basically just eavesdropping and wandering around and taking some pictures and just observing the crowd. And just the kids are so excited when you give this opportunity to speak and to answer questions. A lot of what we do at these events is reading the stories, but then we also really want to involve the kids and have it be an interactive type story time, basically. And so these kids get to answer questions and they're raising their hands and arms are just shooting up everywhere because kids want to,
they love,
you know,
that
they want to be engaged and they want to be able to answer questions, you know, and all of that. So it's really fun, and parents especially too, you know, just to see them watching their kids get this experience and get to meet and get to know people who are different and who look different. And it's just really a beautiful thing.
Do parents sometimes feel compelled to over-explain? And do parents really need to sometimes,
I was a parent. I'm a parent, you know, there, but I don't think that happened at Drag Story Time. I think the overwhelming sense and expression is one of awe. It's one of excitement. It's one of fun. I remember that one image that came to mind is, so one of our speakers last time, one of the readers, drag queen by the name of Sasha Hottie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Sasha. Sasha is very tall, maybe 6'6" or maybe even taller. Mm-hmm. And when Sasha came out from behind the bookcase and, you know, the kids saw Sasha for the first time, there was such a, like, people were like, so, you know, there was no fear or any, you know,
this
confusing.
Is the most incredible looking just, person just, I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was just fun and yeah, so.
A lot of joy.
A lot of joy, for sure.
So the opportunity is definitely there for this to happen, maybe more often. Sean, what are some things that you talked about the need or the desire for more safe spaces for LGBTQ folks in our community? What, in a perfect world, what do some of those spaces look like? Are you talking about different events? Different, you know, events that are happening, or are you just talking about? Well, you tell me.
Yeah,
what do those safe spaces look like to you?
Yeah, well, you know, for a community that struggled to find those safe spaces for many, many years, you know, those of us who are thinking about this, you know, it looks like safe spaces popping up in coffee shops like the Snooty Fox. Places like Zenith Bookstore, nonprofit organizations like Menace Peacemakers and others who are just saying, this is a safe space. If you need a place to come and hang out, come here, drink our coffee and talk with our folks. The other thing is, yes, we definitely want to continue planning events like this that are centered around families, centered around bringing all parts of the community together, whether you're white, black, Native American. We really want everyone to join in and get to know each other and just really build a deeper, more solid community.
Does that mean that business owners, and Bob, I guess I can ask you about this too, because does that mean then if you say, for example, my business, my coffee shop, bookstore, fill in the blank, place where the public can come is going to be a safe space, does that mean that the business owners and the staff are going to need to step forward and say something if they feel that something needs to be said? Does that put an onus on you to have to step forward? And are business owners comfortable with that kind of thing, saying, you know,
Yeah, I mean, yes, that they're definitely. I can only speak for our business. I think, you know, what that means concretely. There's lots of answers to that. I think concretely, one of the things it means is that we do not tolerate homophobic, racist, sexist speech in our store. We are mindful of the types of books we put on our shelves. We're mindful of the whole environment. In our store, also, there's I think, an added issue because we're in a poor working class area. New books are not the most affordable things all the time. One of the reasons that we sell used books is because they can be affordable, more able for people in the community to be part of and participate. Ultimately, it's an attitude. I think it has to stem from a desire recognition of the importance of being inclusive, being open, of being being a location where all people in our community, as Sean just so eloquently said, black, white, native, women, men, gay, lesbian, transgendered, feel comfortable. It's not something you can always automatically say we have to do this or do that, but boy, people know when it isn't and have a sense of when it is.
And there are plenty of LGBT folks here in the community who are, you know, actively seeking out more allies like Bob and the folks at Zenith. I mean, I think that is really powerful when folks who don't necessarily identify as LGBT are stepping up and saying, hey, come in, use our business. Hey, we will stop this yucky speech and all these things that are happening. We'll step up rather than just saying, I'm an ally. I show up at Pride once a year. It's actually
right.
Putting it into, you know, your daily practice of being an ally.
And if folks wonder what that being an ally looks like, we have to obviously go ask the affected people, how do we be an effective ally? Well, here, for the folks looking for a roadmap, here's a roadmap right here. Here's one thing that you can do. And you can do that in your everyday life. You can do that as you're sitting on a bus. You can do that as you're standing on a street corner. You can do that anywhere. But obviously, if you have a business, that is something that you can do to take it a step further. You can even do it, I would imagine, as another customer. We saw a beautiful example of that a few years back. It showed up on Facebook when a gentleman was in the Duluth Grill, was differently abled, was handicapped, and was making some noise. And one of the customers was really upset and felt that the noise was upsetting and kind of indicated that these people should leave. And Tom Hansen brought them back in, sat them down, and said, no, this is not the way we treat our customers here. Everyone is welcome here, and this is the way we behave. And the community outpouring was such, like, wow, this is the way it's done. So it's wonderful to have people setting great examples for us to follow in case we're not sure what to do.
Definitely.
Let me throw in just one other example in West Duluth of what we're talking about here. I was really excited to see that our coffee shop neighbor, formerly known as Beaners, decided to change their name.
I just saw
Uzo's,
that.
On the occasion of their 20th anniversary.
I am such a guppy that every time I heard the word Beaner, I thought about coffee. And then it said, you know, that it certainly can be a racial slur. And I had to stop and think. And then I went, oh. So it just shows how if you're in a position of privilege, you're really not always sensitive to some of these things. And, you know, maybe you're a little slow on the uptake, but they were thinking and being thoughtful and courteous. And it's not political correctness. I was brought up to call it courtesy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You guys, thank you so much for coming in this morning. What a treat to have you here.
Thank you, Lisa.
Drag Story Time at Zenith Books. It's coming up on Sunday at 2 o'clock. And we'll get the details up on our website at kumd.org.